Exodus chapter 28, verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Here we come to a text that deals with the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Whatim? The Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim was really kind of a cool deal. You see, sometimes it seems to me that the children of Israel had it made in the shade. Because when they had questions or when they needed directions, they could go to Aaron, as our text talks about, or in later years, one of Aaron's descendants. Aaron and his descendants would be serving in the office of the high priest, you see. And they would ask for direction, for instruction, for counsel. What should I do? I don't know whether to go here or go there, to do this or to do that. I need counsel. I need direction. And Aaron, or in later years, one of his descendants, the high priest, would consult the Lord via the Urim and the Thummim. Now, the word Urim simply means light or lights. L-I-G-H-T-S. Urim means lights. The word Thummim means perfection. So you have here lights and perfection. Lights and perfection. Now for you Bible guys, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew text. And if you know what that's about, then you'll understand this. If not, don't worry about it. But the Septuagint translates it truth and manifestation. Truth and manifestation. I point all that out to say this. Lights and perfection, or truth and manifestation. It's talking about being guided, seeing the light in a perfect way, getting the truth that's manifested to you in that day. That is, I'm in the dark, I don't know what to do. Go to the high priest and consult the Urim and the Thummim. And man, you'll have perfect light. Truth will be manifested, and you'll know what you ought to do. Now, how did that work, you say? Okay, so the purpose of the Urim and the Thummim is to give us perfect light, lights and perfection, to give us counsel, wisdom and direction. But how did that work? What is the Urim and the Thummim? On the breastplate, as our text tells us, of the high priest were 12 stones. Each of the 12 stones had a name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was a real beautiful piece of art that would be worn over the high priest's heart. 12 stones standing for the 12 tribes. Some of you women have a ring on your finger with the birthstones of your children. If you have 4 kids, you have 4 stones. If you have 5 kids, you have 5 stones. They're kind of cool. Well, that's the same kind of deal. It was worn by the high priest. The stones of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, were over his heart. Now, when the high priest was seeking direction, evidently, what would happen is that these stones would light up. And letters in the stones would light up. And that would give the direction or the answer. And that's why it's called lights and perfection. Because the stones themselves on the breastplate would light up, and you would see the light. It would spell out a key word. It would say, yes, or no, or you gotta be kidding. Whatever it might be, the Lord would make known the answer in some wonderful, miraculous, mysterious way through the lights that would shine through the stones that were on the breastplate of the high priest. And that's called the Urim and the Thummim. Now you say, that sounds kind of nifty. Man, I've been wondering what to do about this or whether I should go there. That would be so cool to come to one of the pastors at the Applegate and see the answer spelled out, you know, on their chest, so to speak. That would be real nifty. Well, yes, but there's two things you need to be aware of. Two problems. Number one is proximity. Number two is priority. First of all, proximity. The high priest would only be able, obviously, to be in one place at any time. So, if you were up in Galilee, which was 100 miles away, let's say, and you had a question, you couldn't fax the high priest. You couldn't get on your cell phone and ask him. You couldn't even get in a car and drive down to Jerusalem. You see, in those days, to travel 100 miles was an annual journey. It was a difficult journey. It's not an easy thing to do. And so, you have these questions. You need direction. You want to consult the Urim and the Thummim, but that means you've got to make a journey, a long journey, a difficult journey. What about the crops? And what about the farm animals? And what about the kids? Well, it wasn't easy. But an even greater barrier than proximity is priority. You see, the Urim and the Thummim could only be consulted on matters of grave importance. National issues that deal with national security, direction for the nation. Should they go to war? Should they take that territory? It was not used trivially. The issue had to be important for you to consult the high priest, who would then consult the Lord with the Urim and the Thummim lighting up in that way. So consequently, people would be very reticent or reluctant, because you see, it had to be a huge issue that would affect many people in order to have that privilege. So, cool, yeah. Problem is, proximity, is the high priest around? And priority, does your question really have huge, important implications for many people? Well, 1,500 years later, our Lord Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus made this grand, glorious declaration when he said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light. I am the Urim, if you would. I am the light. I'm the light. And when we talk about Jesus, who is, the Bible says, our great high priest, there's not a problem with proximity to seek him for light and direction. Because Jesus, you see, said in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you, what? Always, even to the end of the world. Wherever you go, Jesus said, I am there. You don't have to worry about making some journey to some geographical spot. Right now, where you're sitting in this amphitheater, right now, where you're at, Jesus is available to you and available to me. Right now. And concerning this issue of priorities, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, Peter declares to us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, hey, cast all your cares upon him. He doesn't say, hey, don't bother him with the small stuff. Don't hassle him with your little questions about what you should do today. Peter says, hey, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Paul would say, be anxious for nothing. Don't be uptight, literally, about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Awesome. You can pray, I can pray, we can pray about everything, about anything. The Lord is with me right here, right now. His Spirit lives in me. His eye is upon me. He cares deeply about me. I can pray about everything. That's what Paul said. I can cast all my care upon him. That's what Peter tells you and me. Okay, John. So I get what you're saying, I think. You're telling us that Jesus is greater than Aaron. He's our high priest. He is the light, and he'll give us perfect direction if we cast our care upon him. If we pray to him. Okay, John, that sounds nice, and I guess I agree with that. But you know what, quite frankly, how does that work out practically? I have to make a decision this week. I have to decide next month. There's this opportunity. There's this option. There's this situation. I'm not sure which way to go. And you can talk about Jesus being the light of the world, and I understand that fact. But how does it work out practically? If you have pencil and paper, there's some things I think you might want to jot down to see how this works out practically. How does the Lord, our great high priest, give us that perfect direction? How does he lead us and guide us? First of all, number one, by the impressions on your heart. Number one, by the impressions on your heart. Keep in mind, the high priest in our text, where did he wear those stones that would give direction? He wore them over his heart. Now, the Lord gives you and me direction, not by some breastplate that we wear over our heart, but by the branding that he does in our heart. He brands his will. He impresses us in our heart. Now, listen while I read to you from Hebrews chapter 8, what this means practically. In Hebrews chapter 8, the Lord says in verse 8, behold, the days will come when I will make a new covenant. This is the covenant that I will make after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them upon their hearts or in their hearts. I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least even to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he saith, a new covenant, he has made the first one old. Hebrews 8 is important for you guys that are learning the word and want to help others to understand truth. This is a real key passage. Hebrews 8 is quoting from Jeremiah 31, where God predicted, I'm going to do a new covenant, not like the old one, tables of stone, the Ten Commandments and the laws and the ordinances. But the Lord says, I'm going to do something new, a new covenant. Not external rules and regulations, but internal brandings and impressions. I'm going to put in your heart. I'm going to write on your heart what my will is for your life. Now listen carefully. Because this is fantastic for me. God is declaring, you're going to know what you ought to do, not by some external stones, whether it's on the heart of the high priest in these days, Old Testament times, or some commandments and regulations. No, it's going to be internal. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to put impressions and desires within you. And so Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. That means, Lord, I'm just going to walk with you. I'm going to be out in the amphitheater singing songs about you. I'm going to be there with my fellowship family just focusing on you. The Lord says, if you delight in me, I'm going to put my desires, the desires that I have for your life, in your heart. So what do you do to find God's will? Augustine nailed it. They came to him one day and said, Augustine, how do we know what God wants us to do? St. Augustine said, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength and do whatever you want to. That's real freeing. Why do I live in Oregon? Because I want to. Why do I teach the Bible? Because I really want to. Why do we have an outdoor amphitheater? Because I think it's cool. Well, what do you mean? You see, I am simple enough to believe the promises of God that if I delight in Him, that He will do, Hebrews chapter 8, Psalm 37, that He will do precisely what He promised to. If I just enjoy the Lord, He will put desires in my heart that conform to His perfect plan for me. It's wonderful. Now listen carefully. If you're not delighting in the Lord, don't follow the desires of your heart. Because it will lead you in all kinds of weird ways and wrong ways. But if you're one here today that says, yes, I really do love the Lord. I have problems and yes, there's flaws in me. But yes, I can say I do love the Lord and I want to just delight in Him. Then He'll give you light, direction, the Urim and the Thummim in your heart, you see. Number two, not only the impressions on your heart, but number two, interaction with the church. Jot that down if you're taking notes. He guides you by the impressions that are on your heart. Number two, the interaction with the church. What do you mean? Please listen here. Because sometimes my heart can be a little bit hardened and things can get a bit fuzzy. And sometimes... Indeed. And here's where I need to understand the principle of the Urim and the Thummim. What's that? How did God speak His will, His word, His way in the Old Testament day? It was through the names of His children being enlightened or illuminated. Now the Bible says in our day, that we, you and me, that we are living stones. We are His gems. The church, the person you're sitting next to, the person right behind you or in front of you, that person is a jewel, is a gem in God's economy. The church, the brothers and sisters, the family. And God will give you direction and enlightenment through your interaction with your sisters and brothers. Just like the names of the children were lit up to give them direction, so too you'll receive enlightenment through your sisters and brothers. The living stones. You may say, I have this impression on my heart. I have this desire that's stirring up within me. That's fine. That's great. That's the way the Lord works in giving direction to you. Now get it confirmed. Get it confirmed through your sisters and brothers, through the gems, the living stones, the children in God's family. Get it confirmed. So often when you read the Bible, it's the way the Lord works. In Acts chapter 13, for example, they're there as a church in Antioch. And it says they're ministering to the Lord. That means they're worshiping and they're praising and they're talking to the Lord, just ministering to Him. And the Lord said, now separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the ministry. And Paul and Barnabas were launched out. When? When they were gathered as a church, worshiping the Lord. It says in the midst of that congregation, you can read it later if you choose to, in the midst of that congregation, Acts 13:2, there were prophets and there were teachers. God's people were present in that congregation. And thus God could speak. Perhaps it was a prophet that said, I believe the Lord is prompting my heart to say that He wants Paul and Barnabas set free to go out and start ministry. Now you say, well, John, why would the Lord want to work that way? Through the church? I'll tell you why. Because God is really into this thing called family. He's not into a lone ranger spirituality. He's our Father. We have a tendency to say, well, it's just me and the Lord. I don't need my sisters, my brothers. They just kind of bug me. I get irritated with them. I see all kinds of faults and flaws in them. I'll just figure out my own life. It's just me and God. That's not the heart of the Father. He has so designed it that He works through His children because He wants to develop a family. In fact, He would say, whenever two or three meet together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. I want people to come together, He says. Why? If any of you are moms or dads, you know why. There's nothing more delightful than seeing the family discuss an issue, the family work out a problem, the family wrestle through a dilemma together. There's nothing better than seeing your kids talking and sharing, interacting and caring. And our Father says, you guys are family and you're going to be together for a gazillion years. I want you to get to know each other. I want you to learn to appreciate one another. Because I am your Father, He would say to us. And therefore, if you want direction, understand this. If you're kind of a macho, lone ranger, cocky kind of Christian, you're going to be in trouble. Because you're going to go off on this tangent, you're going to go off in that direction, and the Father would say, I want you to be part of a family. I'm sitting there with Jessie, my daughter, who's now in heaven, and Christy. Peter John is listening in. We're around the family table there. Tammy's putting some stuff on the table, popping in, sitting down. We're all in the room. And I tell my girls, I say to Jessie and Christy, listen, girls, when you get married, before you say I do, before you agree to marry somebody, you make sure that that guy is not just a Christian and not just a strong Christian, but you make sure that that guy, you make sure that that guy, and I was looking at Jessie particularly because she was older at that time than was Christy, you make sure that that guy is stronger than you are. And can lead you. It's not enough to marry a Christian. You make sure that that guy is ahead of you, can be a leader for you. That's going to be such an important thing, that you're not dragging him along or trying to get him to catch up, but that he is leading you, ahead of you. And Jessie looked at me and she said, she was just 16, she looks up at me and she says, well, Dad, where am I going to find that man? She said, if I went to a good church, I might be able to meet him, but where am I going to find that guy? And she laughed, and I laughed, and Christy laughed, and Peter was chuckling. And Tammy was enjoying the moment. The next day, Jesse went to heaven. And when I heard that there was an accident and that it might have involved Jessica, I left morning worship. Of course, Jesse, as most of you know, was at morning worship that day. And on her way from morning worship to school, her car hit a slick spot and hit a telephone pole, and the Lord took her home. Before I knew if it was Jesse, I was told that there was an accident, that it could very well be. I jumped in my car and went down the hill. And when I came in the house, Tammy grabbed me and she said, "Can you believe this?" And I knew. And then Peter, a moment later, who had already been there at the accident site, grabbed me, and Peter John said, Dad, she's found the man. She's found the man. She's found the man. The man that's stronger than she. The man that will lead her, teach her, satisfy her completely. She's found the man, Peter said. And he was crying, and I held Peter John and Tammy, and I'll tell you, my boy, my son, ministered to me at that moment in a huge way. Put it in perspective right then, in a moment. Put it in perspective. Put it in perspective right then. She's found the man. She's found her groom. She's married, Dad. Now, that came out of course, the previous evening's family discussion, interaction, sharing. Please hear this. Even as I, as a dad, learn, enjoy, am inspired by, am helped in the times of discussion as a family, so I, as a son, one of God's sons, one of His children, He's my father, I know that I'm going to learn by hanging out with Christians, by coming together for prayer meetings and praise times and Bible studies and discussions that take place. Listen, we need to realize that the family is the way that God speaks. Read the book of Acts. The living stones, the gems, the jewels that are right around you, God will speak through them to you to give direction for you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't miss the opportunity to be dialoguing with sisters and brothers and learning together. Number three. How does God guide me, John, in this Urim and Thummim? How is Jesus going to direct me in my situation? First of all, the desires, the impressions that are on your heart. Number two, interaction with the family. Counsel, confirmation will come as you share with brothers and sisters, as you hang out together. You'll hear the Spirit say, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the ministry." It'll happen. Number three, and most importantly perhaps, not only impressions that are on your heart, involvement with the family, but number three, instruction from the Word. Psalm 119, 105 says what? Thy Word is a what? Lamp unto my feet, and a what? Light unto my path. Thy Word. People sometimes come to me and say, "Man, I just don't know what to do." And I'll say, "Well, what's the Lord been showing you in your Bible reading?" My what? You know, your morning devotions, your Bible time. Well, I was hoping, John, that you would just have a divine revelation for me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Urim and the Thummim, light and perfection, perfect light. Listen, the impressions of your heart might be fuzzy to comprehend. The interaction with others may be flawed or faulted because we're human, but the Word of God is infallible and practical. People sometimes say, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't speak with me. And here is God in His Word right there. The Word of God sitting there on your night table, by your bed. When God gave His word there in Exodus, we saw a few weeks previously, the earth quaked and the mountain smoked and the people were amazed at the potency, the reality of the voice of God. People say, well, He just doesn't speak that way. I don't know what He's trying to say. Right there on your nightstand. Man, He's speaking to you, but the problem is you gotta open up the book. The earth is quaking. The voice is speaking. The mountain smoking. It's in the Word. We are so blessed to have this book with us in our hands, available to us night and day. Don't leave it on your bedstand. Pack it around with you. Get into it. More than any other way, this is how God speaks to me. Yes, He puts impressions on my heart, puts desires in my heart, you bet. Yes, He speaks through sisters and brothers, absolutely. The interaction with the family is important, but most importantly is the Word of God, the instruction from the Word. It seems as though, have you ever found that when you come in on a Wednesday night, and you sit down and you hear the Word being taught and you say, how did He know? That's exactly what I've been going through. The Word of God has a way of pinpointing to every person. Not just when we get together as a group, but in your morning and evening devotions. In your free time. Look, you don't have to watch the whole basketball game. The cool thing about NBA playoffs, the cool thing about basketball is this. If you just watch the last 2 minutes, it'll always be tied. Guarantee. The game is always tied or will get tied in 90% of the times in the last 2 minutes. So just save all those previous 2 hours, turn on the last 2 minutes, and you'll be right in the swing of things. You'll see the whole deal anyway. But what I am suggesting is, hey, listen, there's all kinds of time that I have that you have where I could just grab the Word and read a scripture or two, read a chapter or three, and I'll tell you, I'm not just preaching a lesson. I'm not just preaching a sermon. It's the way God speaks to me. The Word. Those are three ways, and they converge together in harmony in my life that I might know what to do, and I make decisions like you guys all the time, every day, that impacts sometimes lots of things and lots of people. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is my high priest, the greater than Aaron, who's always available to me. Nothing's too trivial for Him. Casting all my cares, all my questions on Him continually. He then gives perfect direction to me by putting impressions on my heart, the new covenant, Hebrews 8. Interaction with the church. I get wisdom from others. Instruction from the Word. And those things come together and give direction to me. Well, John, are there any stipulations? Yes. Yes. There's a couple of prerequisites that you need to be made aware of. First of all, when you want wisdom and direction, when you consult the great high priest, Jesus Christ, for perfect light, the Urim and the Thummim, understand this. The first prerequisite, the first stipulation, number one, is you must ask the Lord with a heart of, number one, expectancy. expectancy. What do you mean? James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask only of God, who gives to all men liberally or generously. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing doubting. For the man who doubts is like the waves of the sea. And let not that man, James says, expect to receive any wisdom, anything from God. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to have faith in me. Why? Because faith is the lingua franca of eternity. Faith is the language that you are going to be speaking in the next gazillion years. God wants to teach me faith. He wants to teach you faith. This is language school. This life. This journey that we're on. John, learn the language of faith because it's going to be important to you. Okay, Lord? So John, when you ask of me for wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, when you lack wisdom, when you need direction, ask and I'll give to you generously, but ask in faith. Without doubting, for the man who doubts is like the wave of the sea. Let not that man expect to receive anything. When you come to the Father, you got to say, Father, I need direction and thank you for what you're going to show me. In my heart, through the body, and by the Scriptures, I know you're going to give direction to me. There needs to be, number one, expectancy. If you're not expecting for God to direct you, He won't. Secondly, not only expectancy, but for you note takers, integrity. Turn with me to our last scripture and we'll be done. But turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. Very important scripture when you talk about direction. The Urim and the Thummim. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs 11. Now, Proverbs is right by the book of Psalms, right after Psalms. And Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. So crack it open and look right there. Psalms, Proverbs, and look at chapter 11, verse 3. Watch this. This is marked in my Bible. I hope it is in some of yours too. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Now listen, the Hebrew word integrity, right there in verse 3, if you want to make this note, the Hebrew word integrity is the word tuma or tumim. Tuma comes from tumim. You're saying, so what? Here's what. Tumim is the Hebrew word for thummim. That's the same word. Our English thummim is the Hebrew word tumim. What are you saying? This is a key. The very word thummim, remember the Urim and the Thummim, lights and perfection? This is the same word. The integrity, the thummim, if you would. Perfection. Integrity, it means that there's not a split-mindedness. But it's a unity. It's a perfection. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. What are you saying, John? Just this. If I approach the Lord, I don't know whether to take that job, whether to marry that guy. Well, not me. But I mean, I don't know whether to do this or go there. I have to come. First of all, Lord, you promised to give me wisdom. I expect you to. Expectancy. Number two, I'm coming to you in integrity. The thummim, the tumim. In other words, I am not, listen, I am not coming to you out of curiosity. What you tell me to do, I will do. That's a key. Many times people say, well, Lord, I'm curious. What's your opinion on this? I'm curious, Lord, what would you see as being best for me? And then we're thinking in the back of our minds as though God doesn't know. Then I'll think about it. I'll see what God's directing me to do, and then I'll make my decision, depending on whether I like it or not. Listen, God will not direct you and will not direct me if I do not come with integrity, the tumim. That is, Lord, I'm not coming out of curiosity. I'm coming with integrity. I don't know what to do, and what you say, I will, whatever it might be. Now, don't you see, folks, that this is the love of God? Because he's saying not, well, if you don't come with integrity, I'm not talking. No, he's saying, John, I don't want you to sin. Why should I tell you what to do if you're not going to do it? That will only cause you to be disobedient. And I love you so much that, John, if you're not coming to me with integrity, I'm not going to answer. Not because I'm mad at you, but because I really do care about you. Why should I give you instruction if you're not going to do it? Why should I lead you in a way that will cause disobedience in your walk? Because you're not going to do what I say. Listen, I wonder how many of us right now say, I don't know what to do. And the reason that we don't know what to do is because God isn't speaking. And the reason that God isn't speaking is because he sees that we're not coming with integrity. The upright, this proverb says, the integrity of the upright, the thummim of the upright shall guide them. You, I, we will be guided if we come in integrity. When I don't come in integrity, the Lord is lovingly silent. So those are the two prerequisites. The way God guides, as I said before, is impressions on my heart. Psalm 37:4, Hebrews 8. Interaction with the church, the living stones, lighting his way for me. Instruction from the Word. He'll speak. If I come with expectancy, Lord, I need wisdom, speak to me, and integrity, and what you say I will do. Well, why should I do what he says? Listen, and we're done. Romans 12. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, I entreat you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices unto the Lord. Lay it down, let it go, give it up. What? Your life. I beseech you that you present your bodies living sacrifices unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. Why? Verse 2. Because be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You'll know God's will when? When you lay down your life. Well, why should I lay down my life? Because it's reasonable. Why is it reasonable? Because of what he's done for you. He gave his life for you. He died on the cross for me. He's in love with us, don't you see? And because he's in love with us, he wants the best for us. And so he says, man, you'll know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's perfect. You'll say, that's acceptable. You'll find it to be good when? When you give your bodies as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm tired of calling the shots. I'm giving my life to you. Guide me in the right way. The Lord says, happy to. Happy to. And I'll guide you, Johnny. I'll guide you. I'll put impressions on your heart. I'll guide you. Interaction with the church, the gems that you're linked to. I'll guide you. The instruction from the Word. Because you're coming to me, John, with integrity. You're laying down your life saying, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. And he'll guide you, guarantee. The Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He wants to do more for you and more for me than we can even imagine. And he proved it when he hung on the cross of Calvary and gave his life and shed his blood. And now he says, I want to bless you. I want to give you my will, which is good and perfect and acceptable. And you'll know my will when you give your body as a living sacrifice to me. No more agenda. No more, this is what I want to do or this is what I intend to. But Lord, I have no agenda. Whatever you see is best for me, that's, Lord, what I desire to do. Listen. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Just lay it down, give it up, die to self, give your bodies a living sacrifice, and you'll know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He'll let you know by the impressions he puts on your heart, the desires that you have, the interaction with the saints, the illumination and instruction from the Word. You'll know. You'll know. I guarantee you'll know. And so, tonight, as a brother of yours, as a pastor here, I'm so glad that you don't have to depend on a person like me to help you figure out what you ought to do. That would be a disaster. But you can go to the light of the world and let him give direction to you in a perfect way. He will. Guarantee. As you just give up your life and say, have your own way. He'll lead you. I promise. I promise. And I'm thankful. I've taken a long time today because there's a cloud covering. And because this is a hugely important lesson. For some of you, you know these things. But you know what? You're going to be asked, I guarantee, before a week or two is over, someone's going to say to you, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to find God's will. I don't know how to figure it out. You can say, hey, I've got some good words for you. He'll guide you. The Urim and the Thummim, light and perfection in a perfect way. Cast your care upon him. And if you come with expectancy and integrity, man, he's going to guide you. The impressions that are on your heart. Number two, what else? Come on, folks, we'll start over again. Come on, people. Impressions on your heart, number two. Interaction with the church, number three. Instruction from the Word. Your heart, the church, the Word. Light, light, light. You are the light of the world. Thy Word is a lamp and a light. And I will give light in your heart. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Father, I pray that as we conclude this study, that these things would be remembered. Father, I know bunches of folks right now are wondering what to do or are talking with people that are in the dark, not knowing which way to go. Jesus, how I thank you that you are our faithful high priest, that you're here in our midst, that nothing's too small to place in your hand. And now I pray especially for those, Lord, especially for those today who are wondering what to do. May you give illumination, impressions on their heart. Oh, Father, instruct them by your word. Confirm it through the folks around them. And may you direct them and lead them. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to figure stuff out, but we can look to you, and this we choose to do right now. In Jesus' name.